Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I appreciate very much you all being here today. We call this, if nothing else, our Sustainability in Higher Education Partnership Presentation, or what I like to fondly call it, the Hour of Power, or as some of our partners say, the Hour of Sustained Power or Energy Efficiency Power, but you know, you can go nuts on that. We have 74 different slides to go through. And I'm going to be very quick on my 10 or so we can get to the heart of the presentation, our partnership peers with the utilities in terms of talking about the details of the partnership and how to benefit from that. But I think to me the really sustainable part of the partnership, the presentation, is the presentation from our four districts that are sharing the podium today on what they've been able to achieve through the partnership on their districts. And our hope is, after, for those of you who are community college folks and aren't, I mean, to me it's kind of an oxymoron. I mean, you'd be coming to this conference because you are definitely involved with the subject matter. But if you aren't doing energy efficiency on your campus, the question we want to ask you and you to take away with yourself is, why not? Because it's available to you. So very quickly, that little living advertisement for our particular system. We're largest post-secondary education system in the world, public post-secondary education system in the world. 2.7 million students annually pass through our classrooms and corridors. Over 70% of the state's public higher education students within California. A quarter of all students within the U.S. are enrolled in California's community colleges, and as you will continue to see in the presentations today, this morning, previously, and throughout the conference, we believe we're the system of first choice within for higher education and community colleges, especially for workforce training and for lower division students. All that's happening on our campuses with the resources that are now available to us to remake our facilities, our amazing educational opportunities are occurring. And as the faculty folks who I have co-presented in the past say, we serve the bottom 100% of the students within the state. We're one of the many missions that we have, a workforce education, the largest provider of workforce training in the U.S., more than 175 degree programs, and those that are specializing in green or environmentally sensitive areas. 72 districts, for those of you who aren't familiar with California Community Colleges, we have 72 districts, 110 campuses, 69 centers, 22 offices, and innumerable offsite centers. A lot of land, a lot of buildings, 64 million square feet, and in, as I said, innumerable outreach centers. So what has happened since November 2000 with the passage of Prop 39, and which allowed for the 55% approval of local bonds, is that we have generated immense amount of resources. Through our planning process, through our five-year planning process, we projected for 10 years, because there's been a compact with the governor and UC and CSU for 10 years. We thought we'd just fill in the data points that weren't requested, that we have 35-plus billion dollars of need over the next 10 years. Based on our five-year plan, our enrollment growth needs are 15 million new square feet needs to be built just to address the growth in enrollments. 28 million of our existing inventory of square feet needs to be modernized. 64 of our 72 districts have passed local bonds since November 2000, generating roughly $22.8 billion in local bonds. That's in addition to the state resources that have been generated. But before Prop 39, it used to be the main game in town, if not the only game in town, were state resources, about $150 million a year. That has been advanced now for state resources. We're asking $4.1 billion over the next 4 years for community colleges and the next statewide bond. But more importantly, there's been massive amounts of resources that have passed locally. So, bottom line is $35 billion worth of need, $22 billion approved, but a lot of it's been expended since November 2000. Bottom line, there's never going to be enough money. So money's not going to be the panacea here in terms of we need to be working smarter through better facilities utilization, streamlined delivery processes, you know, best practices, benchmarking the industry, best practices, of course. But more importantly, and kind of keyed into our presentation today, the need to work collaboratively. We call it shared governance within our system, but to work not only within our system, but with public and private partners in order to find out what's going out on and doing well out there, turning our districts loose, which is our basic governance model in terms of the decentralized approach for governance, allowing them to basically lead the way in a lot of new and different ways to achieve energy efficiency in the buildings. Focusing on life cycle costs rather than first costs, the state appropriation process tends to be fixated on what the first cost is without looking at life cycle costs. We've developed system and systems to focus on life cycle costs, and to me, that's at the heart of sustainability, being a fiscal person. That's important to me, and that's what resonates through that particular wing of the administration. And also something that we want to touch on in this presentation, kind of a subtext of this, we have all this money, but the key thing is how can we direct these capital funds in order to relieve the support budgets for our districts in this time of budget cuts. Leading to the partnerships, speaking of collaborative partnerships, our energy efficiency partnership with our IOU investor-owned utility friends is trying to achieve, and has been achieving in its first round, and now we're in our second round, identifying energy saving opportunities, provide funding and support for energy efficiency designs, and providing a framework for sustainability. And we have the four IOUs, and again, that's in this time of budget cuts, that doesn't mean money that we owe you, but that is Southern California Edison, San Diego Gas and Electrics, the Southern California Gas and Pacific Gas and Electric, our office, the Chancellor's office, and also all 72 districts, and then our friends at Newcomb, Anderson, McCormick, who are keeping us sane and pointed in the right direction. Our sustainability policy that was adopted by the Board of Governors in January 2008 was our first attempt to create a context for the sustainability achievements that are going on within the system. It provides a template that all districts could use, and just as a beginning point, it could easily be improved. The key to it is I like to always follow the money, and there is incentive funds that are being provided not only through the partnership, but more specifically, beginning in 10-11, there will be state capital outlay dollars that can enhance state-funded capital outlay projects to the tune of 2% for construction costs for new buildings, if they're exceeding Title 24 by 15%, 3% by 10% exceeding Title 24 for modernization. Bottom line is for our next round of partnership, our 2009-11 partnership, we're estimating based on the expenditures that would be anticipated based for that partnership, at least $2 of energy savings for every dollar expended over the next 10-year life cycle. I believe that number is far too conservative. It's probably five times that amount. But there's a key amount of, with these key kind of investments, with this renaissance in facilities that is occurring in our system, we're going to be achieving massive benefits. And getting back to that previous principle, the last principle that I talked about in a previous slide, of by creating these kinds of energy savings, even though it's good for the planet and it's good for all things green, the thing that is green that gets a lot of people's attention, especially on the executive administrative side of the house, is that you're creating savings and operational costs that can be going back either into the buildings, because the maintenance of buildings are being underfunded, and the overall operation of the districts are being underfunded. And with that, I'll turn it over. Here's your tools of destruction there.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. My name is Laura Wetmore. I'm with PG&E. I'm also joined by Lisa Hanneman and Lin Chihua from our other utilities, and we have the privilege of working with community colleges throughout the state of California. I think all of us kind of agree one of our favorite things about our jobs is that we are really out there trying to convince customers to use less of our product. That is our number one goal, and we actually give money out to encourage you to do that. We've worked with the California Public Utilities Commission to develop a loading order of sort of how to prioritize projects and where to focus on those energy savings. The last thing any of us want is to have to build another power plant. It's not the best way to go about bringing that new demand online. And what we'd rather do is work with customers to pay them to reduce that energy in their facilities so that we can avoid those unneeded power plants. So this just kind of gives a picture of the loading order that's been developed for the state of California, really focusing first on energy efficiency and demand response, and then next moving into renewable energy sources like photovoltaics, wind, other fuel cell type technology, distributed generation, and then finally fossil fuel generation. Like we said, we don't want to start there. That's kind of our last resort. Also, just another picture of kind of how we look at demand-side management with our customers, building from the bottom at energy efficiency. We want to conserve as much as we can, and finally look at demand response as a way to offset that peak load on those hot critical days. This was a study that was done by Lawrence Berkeley National Lab about 10 years ago, actually, now. So it's somewhat outdated. Numbers actually continue to look better than this, showing the profitability of energy efficiency. Two lines up there, don't know if you can see. Oh, I should use my little pointer, huh? 1997, the Dow Jones, 14% return on investment. Anybody getting that now? No. And at that time, energy efficiency, average return on investment of 10 kind of key measures was surpassing that. So you can imagine now with energy costs going up and stock markets doing much, much worse than this, that gap continues to widen and we're seeing more profitability of energy efficiency. So we really want to come alongside campuses and show them how they can implement types of measures like this and really get that return on investment that's going to have a long-term effect. We had some really good accomplishments from 2006 to 2008 with our campuses. 8.7 megawatts reduced from the grid. Lots of numbers up here. I think you guys can get that. But it's really the 3,400 cars per year off of the road. It's quite an accomplishment for the community college system. And we expect to see a lot more of that moving into this next cycle. You'll notice in yellow there on the bottom, over $12 million of incentives left on the table. Those were dollars that were not used for energy efficiency. They did not roll over to this new program cycle. And really, we are out here. We have a lot of outreach efforts making sure that there isn't money left on the table for this 2009 through 11 cycle. We want to make sure campuses use up every dollar that's out there. Get it invested into your campuses now so that so you can take advantage of it. It's money that's been reserved for you. We don't just do retrofit projects through the partnership. We also want to look at monitoring-based commissioning, new construction. Those are really two of our big focuses for 2009 through 11, and Lisa and Lynchy will cover those in more depth. But we also do look at the demand response and the renewable side of the house as well. We also want to work with you on any sort of climate change priorities that you have. Utilities have some programs available, and we also want to help you just in benchmarking of your facilities. We also offer training and education. Lynchy will cover some of the upcoming courses that we have later this fall for our campuses. One thing that you mentioned IT on here, another thing that's missing is food service. There are a lot of places in your campuses that we have a hard time reaching. They're not necessarily as connected to the facilities groups as maybe in some other areas, and we see a lot of missed opportunities in areas like food service and IT, even student housing. I know not necessarily the case at community colleges, but another real focus of ours is to connect with those more non-traditional areas of the campus that don't necessarily connect with their utility on a regular basis. Nice thing about the partnership is that we give incentives far beyond what the standard customer will see in the state of California. Most customers see anywhere from like a 5 to 14 cent per kilowatt hour incentive. We're giving 24 cents per kilowatt hour on projects that are submitted through the CCC-IOU partnership. A dollar for gas measures. So everything from HVAC to lighting, central plants, IT measures. Make sure you're connecting with your utility to see what sort of incentives are available. A lot of these incentives, too, help cover a good portion of the cost of the project. So we offer a higher cost cap through the partnership, 80% versus the 50% that the rest of our customers throughout the state of California see. I want to turn it over to Lisa now, who's going to get more in-depth on the new construction side for any of you who have redesign or retrofit projects.
Thanks, Laura. I'm here today to talk a little bit about new construction. One of the key things that happened in 2006 through 2008 that we heard loud and clear from the community colleges was integrating our processes and our programs to kind of fit as a one-stop shop for community colleges. And one of the key pieces of that is new construction. So we now have our new construction for partnerships, also known as Savings by Design, where we'll come in and help with your design. We offer design assistance, we offer incentives, we really work hand in hand with you on any modernization, expansion, new construction, major gut rehab projects. I don't know out there how many community colleges received that memo, that timely memo from Fred last week regarding the Board of Governors incentive program, as well as the requirements to have or encouragement to have new construction or savings by design be a part of that. This program really mirrors a lot of the work that you're already doing out there. And one of the key pieces to that is anybody that's looking at LEED certification on some of these projects, the modeling requirements for LEED are exactly the same for our Savings by Design New Construction for Partnership program. So it is something that we're encouraging all community colleges to participate in, and we want to be involved at the very start. When you guys are submitting your FPPs, we want to make sure that you have a letter of interest in place on those projects. We also want to make sure that you're getting an application in. We want to be involved right from the start when you're bringing your design team on board. Because truly, to maximize the incentive opportunities for this program, we really need to be in on the ground floor. And the last piece of it is the enhanced incentive piece that you get through the partnership. This is talking a little bit about the incentive structure for our whole building approach. That's really looking at an integrated design process, a holistic look at the building, taking advantage of all the systems, orientation, everything that kind of works hand in hand together. What we're showing you here is really a comparison of the core program, which is offered to most customers, and then what we're offering to the California Community Colleges. And one of the nice things that we put into this presentation for some of you that have seen a little bit of a glossary view of it is we actually have examples now of where these incentives truly impact your bottom line on your project. As you can see, it's kind of a sliding scale, 10 to 30% better than Title 24. It starts at 10 cents and scales up to 30 cents per kWh. We're going to enhance that incentive by giving you 10 cents above those incentive rates, as well as a dollar a therm flat across the board with no escalation, whereas in the traditional program, it starts at 34 cents and scales up to a dollar. The other is a focus on KW, the demand of your facilities, and looking at putting in measures that will also reduce the demand use on your facilities. And we're giving $100 a KW for that. And the nice thing for your design team is they actually get up to one-third of your enhanced incentive. So the design teams are also getting more dollars to participate with community colleges in the partnership program. This is an example of a whole building project that we did. This is a readiness center classroom setting. It came in about 24.1% better than Title 24. Some of the design included T5s, LEDs, enhanced insulation. As you can see, we were able to work with them on orientation, clear stories utilizing daylighting. The project saved about 247,882 kilowatt hours and 126 kW. And the reason I'm reading that to you is because on this next page it's a little busy, but the bottom line is, as you can see, it's almost $25,000 more in incentives that the community college's project would have gotten in comparison to our traditional Savings by Design program. So, and then the example for one-third of the owner incentive, they're getting about $9,000 more than they would have for your design team. So total across the board, it's almost $33,000 in additional incentives for this whole building project to participate for new construction. This is the systems approach. This is where we work with you primarily on gut and rehab projects, some of your new construction projects where we get in late in the process, design development, late in design development, or into construction documents. We really can't impact it on a whole building side, but we can still try to look for recommendations within the program. And these basically four key areas, daylighting, interior lighting, HVAC and refrigeration, and others like motors, air handlers. And as you can see, we offer enhanced incentives for that as well. So normally you'd be getting 5 cents, 15 cents, and 9 cents. We offer 15 cents, 25 cents, and 19 cents, and the $100 KW kicker. So for that example, you can see it's almost over $25,000 additional incentive, even on the whole building approach for a project that saved about 155,000 kilowatt hours. Combined incentives, what we wanted to make sure is happening is that we ensure that all of your projects have a letter of interest on file with the utilities. We have one of the key members of our team here today. She's our new construction specialist, Karen, and she's specifically for Southern California Edison, and then we handle anything in the gas company service territory that's in our service territory as well. And really, they want to work hand in hand with you. We have new construction specialists on as part of our team here in the partnership program. So you can get the Board of Governors sustainability incentives as well as our incentives to really impact your projects going forward. So we don't want to miss leveraging that and contacting us with any of those projects that you may have. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lynn Chi.
I'm going to put this down a little bit. So as Laura previously mentioned, there's two main focuses for the 09 to 11 partnership. One was new construction, which Lisa just talked about, and I'm going to be speaking on monitoring-based commissioning, or MBCX for short. And basically what the premise of MBCX is, it's, you know, go out there, search for your most energy-intensive buildings, and what we do is we as a partnership, but the campuses go out there, they install monitors on these buildings, and you take the baseline. So what are you currently consuming now? Then your commissioning agent or your campus folks, they'll go in, they'll make minor tweaks and modifications, you know, lighting controls, things of that nature. And after you make those modifications, then you take another reading on these meters, and the difference in energy is what we pay you for, 24 cents a kilowatt hour and a dollar a therm. We had a lot of experience with the UCCSU partnership. A lot of those UCCSU campuses participated in the 06 to 08 cycle. And now what we're trying to do is to encourage more community college campuses to participate in the same program. It's, you know, they have really great results. And these MBCX projects, I mean, what you do is you have these meters installed at these buildings, and so you'll always be able to know what that building is consuming. So if you ever see, you know, a spike in energy consumption, you'll know exactly where you need to go and what the issue is. So your typical MBCX projects at community colleges, I think the main focus that you can find on this chart is, number one, the total incentives column and the simple payback. So our incentives are quite lucrative for MBCX projects, and you can also see the huge energy savings that result in these projects as well. So most of these projects pay themselves back in, you know, within a couple years. Another option that you can also have is to bundle up your small buildings. So if you have, you know, a couple small buildings, Cal State Monterey Bay actually, you know, started something like this. They do have a case study online, so you can go ahead and Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever you like to do, and look for this case study and see if you can apply the same method to your campuses as well, but, you know, taking a couple small buildings and just packaging it in one, and it'll hopefully make your payback and your incentive level look a lot more attractive. So the MBCX process, these bullets are just the real, you know, quick and easy kind of explanation, but use a benchmarking process. So that's what I was speaking of, energy-intensive buildings. Find out what those are. Install whole building meters to take the baseline. Perform all the testing. Make the tweaks and modifications. Log the energy used by using your EMS system. You know, the low-cost, no-cost modifications, and you can meter these and take a look at your energy savings and your energy consumption. So how to find the money? There's a couple different programs, Energy Smart Program, CEC Loan Program, I believe it's at 3.8% interest right now, performance contracting with ESCOs, local and state bonds, utility financing options. Right now, SDG&E has an on-bill financing program. It's actually 0% interest. I don't know if anybody else has ever heard of a 0% interest loan. I know I haven't. I can see some no hands up right now. So it's actually a very, very great program. And for community colleges, we have something special where you can actually borrow up to $250,000 per meter. And so we aim for bill neutrality. You never pay out of pocket. The campuses never pay out of pocket. What you do is you implement your energy efficiency projects, and the money that you save on your energy on the energy project, you know, you'll realize it on the bill, and that money goes to pay for the loan. Schedule maintenance budget and block grant funding, federal stimulus money, and, you know, just the life cycle costs and the simple payback, you can see that most of these projects will pay themselves a couple months, couple years, depending on the size of the building, the type of project there is. And we have something coming up, the fall sustainability training series, which we are all actually very, very excited about. It's focusing on going green, being sustainable. It's a four-part series coming in the fall, and it's a webcast, so that's quite green of us and sustainable. We are webcasting to a couple different campuses of Citrus Community College in Glendora, College of the Canyons in Valencia, Peralta, which is in Oakland, and Mesa College in beautiful San Diego, which I am from, so I have to do a little shout out. And the dates are above on the screen, and also the course name as well. But, you know, great course, and please contact your local utility representative if you are looking for more information or would like to register. Hopefully we'll see all your bright, shining faces there. So hopefully, you know, the past couple slides have kind of triggered something in you, and, you know, you're all now super excited to go out there, implement your energy projects, go out there, borrow some OBF, 0% financing loans, whatever you got to do to implement these projects. But go out there, you know, be a leader in your sustainability with your community college campuses. We can also help you work on your sustainability and energy policy. We can help you brainstorm for ideas. You know, it's not all about the low-hanging fruit. There's, you know, a lot of new technologies coming out there, some of which we're not aware of, some of which you're not aware of. So let's, you know, meet together, collaborate, and talk and see what we can do and how the utilities can assist and provide incentives for these energy-efficient projects. We can go out there, perform an energy audit at your campuses. We do have resources to do things like that. And engage your other departments, such as IT and food service. So go out there, be a leader. And next is Mr. Bob Bradshaw from Citrus Community College. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. I'm Bob Bradshaw. I'm with Citrus College. We are a single campus district. The voters approved the bond back in 2004 for $121 million, and with that, we were building out our master plan. As part of that, on this slide, we have a list of some of the energy savings projects that we are doing, and those projects were built into the bond. The new central plant, the big tank there, we affectionately refer to as Carroll's Tower. That holds 650,000 gallons of, yes, sir. Right now, in years or dollars? Well, we're looking at right now, probably, I believe I got $150,000, $160,000 from SCE just by demand response, moving it from daytime to nighttime. And we are looking at approximately $250,000 in energy dollar savings per year.
Could I ask, if you have questions, and the presenters can decide whether or not they want to take questions, but could you come to a microphone, because they're broadcasting this, and if you're doing it a cappella from the audience, that won't be picked up. Thanks.
Thanks, Fred. Like I said, we used demand response. We went to SCE, demand response. We got approximately $150,000, $160,000 just for that, just for moving it around. And during the day, we're pumping it around. I believe it was maybe a 75-horsepower pump cooling the entire campus at this point in time. As part of that, as a secondary effect, we're replacing HVAC units with a VAV system on the buildings that obviously were not yet done. And we are getting approximately $60,000, $55,000, $60,000 for doing that as part of the incentive program. So we are bringing all the entire campus up. There's a few small buildings that we're probably not going to do, or they may be remote, but on all the major buildings, they are all there. Simple projects, replacing exit signs with LEDs. I got full funding for 250 exit signs for that, and we put it in with our own labor as we could. New boilers from the gas company, I believe, we received approximately $15,000. The new boilers were part of the central plant system, so I got, or we got money from SCE as well as Sempra Energy. New construction was savings by design. We just went through a final on my student services building, and I'm looking at almost $10,000 just for going through that. So, and I'm doing it with our other new buildings as well. That's basically a requirement to get in that savings by design. You can see right now the total incentives. It will be a little over $320,000. So, does it pay for a project? No, but it sure does pay for a few other things. So, this is over the term of it. The annual savings for 1 year, we're looking at $255,000 in that 20-year present value of $4 million. Total life cycle savings, we're looking at $17,400,000. So it's there if you do the project, and the paybacks are there. A little bit of sustainability here. We put artificial turf down on our football field as well as new softball fields we did, as well as a practice field. With that, we don't have to water it. We don't have to, we have no surface runoff with it. We have no fertilizers running into the system. Reduce maintenance costs. We don't have people out there mowing grass or painting lines. We also aren't running the lawnmowers. So we're reducing our footprint there in being sustainable and good neighbors to everyone. Lighting system with our friends at Pier. They have a pilot program that they came in and put this lighting system in one of our classrooms. Basically as a demonstration, they paid for the whole thing. And it's a three-way lighting system, up, down, or full. And it's primarily for if you're doing presentations and obviously teaching. The teachers seem to like it. We had a secondary effects project where we did go back in and put classrooms back where we had to build offices, and we use this lighting system in the four of the classrooms. Daylighting systems, we all have trouble with users going into a classroom and you immediately turn a light switch on. It could be three or four lights, it could be, you know, one switch. But there are plenty of companies out there right now that everything is automated and it's all sensored. You could have two rows of lights in a classroom, one row will dim and it'll dim to the level of the other row of lights. And I think it's the way we're going to go, because changing people's behavior is extremely difficult, as most of us already know, including mine, I'm sure. And on that note, my esteemed colleague, Ron Bieler.
Thank you, Bob. What's really nice about this is that when we started these presentations about 3 years ago, we were the only ones that showed up. So it's kind of nice to have everybody in here. Kind of had somebody nice to talk to other than ourselves. But anyway, with North Orange County Community College, I want to try to get through this pretty quickly because I've told 7 minutes and I've already wasted a minute. There's a lot of things that we've done in our district. And I think one of the important things, and the message I want to get out today, is talking about partnerships and talking about being able to get the money and being able to save your district money. But some of the things that we did through a partnership, we were going out there, we're going to do these projects anyway. We passed a bond. It's a $500 million bond, or $239 million bond with estate funding. We had about $500 million in projects. So we want to be able to make them better. So you form partnerships with the investor-owned utilities, and they've been great partners. We've been able to take things and put in distributive chilled water plants, been able to replace a lot of outdoor lighting. And you see here, we took about 3.5 million kW per year off the grid. We got $1 million in savings, but that is, we've got several bit savings. If you compute that out, about 14 cents. It's pretty incredible, the savings every year. You're showing there $182,000 a year in saving. That's a lot of FTE. That's saving a lot. There's we had a instructor ask, or a board member ask, what can you do with $200,000? Well, we can teach 40 sections. And that's a lot. You're doing something for your community. So by being able to get that message out there, being able to provide service to the community, that's what it's all about. And you're wasting money if you're not doing it and you're not providing the service to your community. If you don't have $12, $14 million to build a central plant, there's other ways that you can do things. You can do things such as metering your buildings so that you can have a good understanding of what's happening in those buildings. If you don't know what's happening, if you don't see what's happening at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're spiking, and you're wondering what in the world's going on, and your electricity is high, your electricity bills are high, you might want to start taking a look at those type of things, because you're establishing a baseline over 3 months, and then you're able to determine what some savings are. Here, you're seeing significant savings in a library situation, from a night schedule. We're looking at custodians and technicians working together to work and to build better schedules. And again, showing some better savings. Just with lighting and HVAC changes, we've seen like 35% reduction just by doing some metering. And when we did the central plant, some of the things that we tied into was new libraries and being able to have good design and working with our partners to figure out ways that we can, just a simple thing of being able to invite stairwells when you're walking in, that you can walk up to the second floor instead of using elevators. Here's some other things that we tied into. This is at Cypress College. And here's sort of a performing arts center that we've been working on. And so I know that was fast, but I hope you got a message out of it. So with that, Gary Nellison from Mount Sack.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Gary Nellison, and I serve as the Director of Facilities Planning and Management at Mount San Antonio College, another long title that Fred's mom is proud of, I think. My wife's proud of it. So, some of the things that that we've been doing at Mount San Antonio College, we're looking at our energy policy. And that goes back to the 1999 experiences that we had with service interruptions. We kind of followed the thundering herd into the interruptible rate, and that was great until we actually got interrupted. And then everybody started thinking, well, what are we going to do about energy savings? So in 2001, we were able to pass our first facilities bond. Some of that money that Fred talked about, Mount SAC, we were able to get $221 million plus another $100 million or so from the state sources. And we started thinking about, well, if we're going to build these buildings, how can we do that in an energy efficient way? And it really wasn't, frankly, very organized. We were just kind of chipping away at it, getting ideas from architects and all the different sources that we could. But, you know, again, not organized, not well coordinated. Not to say that we haven't had some good successes with our energy savings, but it was really just kind of piecemeal. One of the goals that we obviously had, because as Fred mentioned, $221 million, $300 million sounds like a tremendous amount of money, but when the need is $700 million, you know, you can't do everything. So we were really chasing after the incentives that we could get. And then, you know, looking back on it, the kinds of things we were doing for energy savings, we were really just closing the barn door. Because there was so much waste in the facilities. No money had been spent on capital outlay, very little on scheduled maintenance, all the way back to, you know, the 70s, a couple of projects between 1974 and 1999. So we were so far behind the curve there was so many things that we could do. You know, anything that we did in terms of energy savings was helpful. So we just went after it as aggressively as we could. Between 2002 and 2008, we approached energy savings with three different phases. I'll talk about those. The bottom line is, though, that it works. It has worked for us. Even though the campus has grown about 20% in gross square footage, more than that in FTES, all of the different measures, we've grown utilization. Our power bill has actually gone down. So that's something that anybody can see. Is there any trustees out there? Okay. The trustees see that very clearly. I don't want to say even the trustees see that, but the trustees can see that very clearly. We have been very successful in terms of energy savings. And again, we've really just scratched the surface. Our phase one were basic things like T12 to T8 lamps, thermal energy storage for load shifting, and implementing an energy management system that people could use, that our technicians could use. We have three HVAC technicians for almost a 1.5 million gross square foot. So if you're from UC and you're used to 150,000 square foot, we really spread thin in terms of our staffing to manage these things. We don't have an energy manager, you know, that's me in my spare time. So we need a system that works well, that makes sense, and we were able to leverage incentives to help pay for that in phase one. Phase two, we implemented central plant and cogeneration. And then phase three was where we were able to use the first few years of the partnership that we're here to talk about. We were able to do some optimization with our chilled water central plant loop. We started thinking about server rooms. In some of our buildings, we were cooling the entire building just to keep the servers cool. And, you know, that was like the barn door, energy flowing out the window. So we were able to get, and the partnership incentives made the difference in the payback to be able to do those projects. And then started to get the energy management system fine-tuned, started to be able to pull some reports and things that helped us make decisions for the future, and also just as Ron was talking about, kind of getting rid of those yellow areas, those gray areas in our operations to save energy. Now, fortunately, in 2008, we've passed the second facilities bond, and we hope that $353 million, we hope to have maybe another $150 from the state, maybe a little bit more, depending on the 2010 bond. That gets us really close to what our need is on the campus. It's another 10 years of building on the campus, and this time we are able to, or we will be able to, take a little bit more strategic approach. And that's where we're at right now, which is revisiting that energy policy. With help from, again, I don't have an energy manager, so the help that I get from the utilities to develop that energy policy, to extend on what the Board of Governors have given us in the last year, is crucial to being successful in this approach. It's very important for us. You know, it was fine to tell the Board of Trustees that our power bill has gone down or it's flat. Now they're looking for a little bit more detail. We want to be able to verify what our energy savings are, not just having an engineering document that I can wave in front of the trustees and say, look, we're going to save energy. We actually need to do some of the metering things that you've heard about. And that's crucial to getting the commitment at the campus level to spending these dollars. We don't want to run out of money and not be able to build all of the buildings that we've promised in this next phase. And so in order to get a hold of those monies for energy savings, we need to be able to prove that we're going to save money. We want to incorporate some of the teaching tools, kind of integrate what we're doing into the campus life. We have 32,000 full-time equivalent students, a lot of people there at that college. And there's an opportunity to teach them about green, about sustainability. Three HVAC technicians. I may get one more by the time we're all built out, but these systems that we do need to be operator-friendly. Our guys need to be able to deal with those systems. And again, we want to look ahead at a 50-year plan. These buildings are going to be there for 50 years. We want to take a second look at the buildings that we just built in our phase one. That's where monitoring-based commissioning and more work on our EMS and reviewing our operating patterns comes in. And then even a third look at some of the older buildings built in the 1970s that we want to keep. We want to be very careful about considering renewable sources. Not to say that solar isn't a great idea, but if there are many things that still need to be done to save energy in the buildings that we have, we want to consider solar in light of all of the things that need to be done on campus. We want to ensure that all of our savings opportunities are identified. That's kind of the bottom line there. Looking at fleet, energy awareness, local sourcing of materials, and public transportation. Some of the things that you'll hear about at this conference. And then, like I said, evaluate renewable programs along with all the other savings opportunities. And then looking at energy savings as an ongoing process, I think there's a lot there, but the most important one is at the bottom, engaging our facilities staff to help find projects, involving our facilities staff in the training opportunities, because they're the ones that really know the way these buildings are operating and can identify where the money is, where the energy savings will be. And if I didn't take up all the time, Mike.
Seven minutes. Okay, who came up with that? Where's my clicker? There you go. Hi, my name is Mike. Community colleges pave the way for energy efficiency in higher education. There's no doubt about it. We are the frugal gourmets. We have to be, okay? We just don't get that much money to do things. So some of the things we've done, change outs, we get rebate money. The rebate money goes right back into our facilities and operations budget for more energy efficiency projects. It's a no-brainer. You call these folks up, they come to your campus, they fill out the paperwork. All you have to do is receive the check, talk your boss into not putting it into the general fund. HVAC change outs, boiler chillers, you're going to change these things anyway. You need to do it, and the money comes in. On new buildings, savings by design, we're just completing our fifth new building on campus. It's a gorgeous arts building. Come up and see it. We're getting a check for $82,000 for savings by design, 35% better than Title 24. We received checks all the way through our building program. And I ran into a gentleman. He said his architects weren't interested in doing this. And I need to remind you, who tells the architects what to do? It's actually the district. So our energy upgrade analysis, I had to prepare this 2 weeks ago, and it was 2 weeks late. On all the things we've done on our campus, the costs, the benefits, we've done a little bit of solar. We're doing two buildings right now, the Arts and Student and General Services building. They will be LEED buildings, and there is a cost to that, but there's also a benefit we can calculate. On our arts building, a lot of nice things, LEDs, motion sensors. We tie motion sensors to lights and HVAC. We have three-way lighting in the classrooms. So it's a gorgeous building. I'm going to go fast because Fred's going to start going like this pretty quick. LED walkway lights. They're a little pricey. They last about 17 years, we think. They use 1/12th of the electricity of the current walkway lights we have on campus. We're actually going to launch that as a campus-wide project real fast. And Matt and Laura, Eddie is working on our paperwork. That's in plan. We've done some cool things. The peer folks came in and gave us some LED task lighting in our offices. And most of our offices are overlit, especially faculty bring in all kinds of lamps. So we provided these LED lights for desk lights, and they're really liking them. And we've done some fun things. We designed our own logo for a PEV parking stall. It looks like a giant plug for personal electric vehicles. So we have stalls associated with each building. And we're a rural campus. We're 15 minutes from Chico. Average PEV goes about 25 miles. This works out really good for students to plug in when they come out. Transformer upgrade. They need to be changed out. You go into a transformer room, old transformers, the room's 150 degrees, tremendous heat loss. New transformer, sure, they're going to save you electricity. And then metering. We've had one building, one permanent building under meters for now a year and 4 months. And we're really defining out what our HVAC is doing, what our lighting is doing, and what our plug load is doing, what our computer usage is. So annual energy usage, Fred, you're going to get this. We got the memo last week. It's due next week, right? So we set our baseline. The number I like the best is on the far right side, where our kWh per square foot keeps going down. It keeps going down. So we haven't had to ask for an augmentation since 2000 for energy on campus, and we've gone from 431,000 outside gross square feet up to, we'll be at 800,000, and we think we're going to be able to contain and not ask for more dollars. So 6878, we established set points. Yes, our complaints went way up. We promised we'd put somebody in the field to check them. We did. 50% of the time, our HVAC folks found something wrong with the HVAC, and we corrected it. Solar phase two, we just cut the ribbon on this one in May, a few short weeks ago. So we have now 5 arrays on our main campus. We're 43% solar powered. And monitoring-based commissioning, we're going to launch this for campus-wide as we go. Lighting, this is a T12 to T8 retrofit. And we're actually thinking about skipping the T8 and going right into LEDs. We're beta testing some LEDs on the inside of our facilities. We may go right there. So we're in this slump, this economic slump. Price of electricity came down a little bit. If you're on direct access, you jumped on it a little bit. It's going to go up. The 30-year look is there. You need to figure what your business as usual costs are going to be if we don't do anything. This is solar phase two, or BAU. We would have paid $25 million for electricity on the 5 meters we put solar on over 30 years. The solar cost us, when you throw in the interest, it was $9 million. So our business as usual versus doing the solar, and we're showing a true $15 million savings over 30 years. So we set our own criteria. We adopt this criteria for many things. And again, we are leading the way, as many community colleges are, in sustainability. We set a goal to be climate neutral by 2015. A lot of people said, Mike, that's crazy. Last year I started saying, we're going to be grid positive by 2012. People said, he's really crazy, but the president of the college used that statement at a ribbon cutting 3 weeks ago, and we're now calling it Crazy Good, is that project proposal name. So you can do it. We have to do it. This is what our solar looks like. Right now, the easy ones are energy, whether you're using CCIOU or the CSI rebate. The energy ones where you have dollars going out for something, it's easy to make change. So you got to jump on those easy ones. This is our pie chart of our carbon footprint. The difficult one will be transportation, but we're working on that. Even though we're a rural college, most of our difficulty in carbon neutrality will revolve around transportation. So we're all in that one together. And then the tools, they're free. The Energy Commission is here. I saw Amir, $20,000 energy study for free. It's a grant project. Sign the paper. Your utility will do a study. And then whatever way works to get projects going, there's many ways. Tax-exempt lease purchase, comprehensive energy audit, PPAs, lease buyback. There's many ways to be creative. 7 minutes?
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.